title message called A Revelation of Redemption. If you did not get the message from last Sunday, there is an urgency that you get it. Amen. It's a power. You know, there are some messages that God give you that the Spirit of God gives us as men of God, that once we get those messages, you know, we all feel like that this is the most important message. Amen. You know what I mean? Amen. Creflo Dollar thought that prosperity was the most important message. Amen. And I concur. I agree with him. Amen. Total life prosperity. Amen. Bill Winston, he believes the kingdom of God. Amen. And I agree with him also. Amen. You know, I believe that the image of God, I believe it's the last trump. I believe that all dominion is predicated upon our identification in and with Christ. I don't believe that you can take dominion when you don't know who you are, no matter what's been preached to you. Amen. Come on, somebody say amen. Praise God. I want you to turn your Bible to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 22. I believe that this revelation of redemption based upon our identification in and with Christ, to me, I believe it's the most important message. Genesis 1 and 26 said, God said, let us make man in our what? And after our what? And then let them have dominion. I was on television in 2001 on CTN, Christian Television Network. And I was a gospel rapper at the time, which I'm still a gospel rapper now, for those of you who don't know. Yeah, I'm 40 years old, but I still got flow. Amen. Amen. I'm not going to quit till I pass the baton to G-Rod and my daughter and another generation of young people that want to carry the gospel by way of music. Amen. Praise the Lord. But I was on television in 2001, and I told them that image is the prelude to dominion. I firmly believe that. Amen. You know, have you ever prayed for people? You lay hands on them and you know what I mean? And you know, trying to get the word to work for you, and it just seemed like it just won't work. Amen. Amen. Most of the time, that's based upon our identification in and with Christ, knowing who we are in Christ, knowing what we have in Christ, and knowing what we're able to do in Christ, our covenant rights as believers. So many times we hear people say, well, we're nothing, and you know, I'm just flesh, and I'm just a sinner saved by grace, and all of that based upon the Brit Hadashah, the new covenant, the New Testament, is all filth. Come on, somebody say amen. It's not correct doctrine, and it's not correct teaching. Amen. Come on, somebody say amen. So what I want to do is I want to try to help you today by revealing to you the scripture. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 22. 1 Corinthians 15 and 22, it says, for as in who? All do what? Even so in who? Shall all be made alive. Now, I want you to circle the words in there. You should know this, amen, but we want to keep bringing it out until it's branded in your human spirit. The word in is an English preposition that denotes location. That means you are geographically located in the person of Jesus Christ. Come on, somebody say amen. Amen. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 45 through 49. I'm going to run through these things to get to the core of what I'm going to be teaching today, but I just want you to take shorthand notes because I'm going over recapping what I said last week. It says, and so it is written, the first man, Adam, I want you to underline that, was made a living soul. The last Adam, underline that, last Adam, was made a quickening or a life-giving spirit. 46, howbeit, that was not first which is spiritual, but that which is natural, and afterward that which is spiritual. The first man is of the earth. Somebody say earth. Earthy. Somebody say earthy. The second man is the Lord from heaven. 48, as is the earthly, so are they also that are earthly. And as is the heavenly, such are they that are heavenly. And as we have borne, somebody say born. As we have borne the image of the earthly, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. Now, he's talking about two different identifications or two different identities. Here, the word born means to be wore as clothing. So what he's saying is that as we have wore as clothing the image of the earthly, we shall also wear as clothing the image of the heavenly. Somebody say amen. In the context of this scripture, we're talking about our identification in and with Christ or in and with Adam. And like I told you, here's a problem. And I'm going to bring this out, amen, as I go. What the Spirit of God spoke to me is that what we have done is we've taken people who have not understood their identification in and with Christ. We brought them to church. We dressed them up, put gaiters on them, put a couple of Christian cliches in their mouth, blessed and highly favored, and we think we got it all together. Amen. But just because you look like you're a church, Just because you carry a Bible don't mean that you are the part. Amen. Come on, somebody say amen. So we got to, because a lot of people have gotten hurt in church. Amen. Because guess what? The same people that are outside of church, when they come to the place where we congregate and get born again, amen, the same problems they had out there, they bring them to the church. Come on, somebody say amen. And those problems remain primarily because we're not being transformed by the renewing of our mind. Amen. See, your spirit man is all brand new. You've been born again. You're a new creature in Christ Jesus. But there's a word that is said after that, and I'm going to give it to you in a minute. The word behold. See, you got to start seeing other things other than what you've been seeing your whole life in order for you to change what you're doing. Come on, somebody say amen. See, if all I see is black top and when I was a kid, you know, screen doors with the screen busted out of them, and I didn't see any other lifestyle except what I saw in Southwest Detroit or Northwest Detroit, guess what? My level of expectation couldn't be raised because I haven't seen anything else. So in order for me to change and go somewhere farther, I got to see something different. Amen. Let me not get past my notes because I really want to give it to you today. Amen. So he's talking about two different identifications. If you study the word identified in the Bible, it is defined as the regard as the same. To regard as the same. So all of mankind is either identified in the first man, Adam. Somebody say the first man, Adam. Or the last man, Adam. Now let me give you something. If you are in the first man, Adam, if you have not been born again, this is the mindset you have. If you have not changed your thinking, you have been born again. These things will still operate in your life. Just because you've been redeemed from the curse doesn't mean that the curse won't continue working in your life. Come on, somebody say amen. Amen. My God. See, sometimes things happen to us not because God wants them to happen to us, but because we are the church and we tolerate those things. You can't complain about stuff that you continue to tolerate. If you're in Adam, or your mindset is the first man, Adam, and you think you're just an old sinner saved by grace, and one day you're going to fly away and go to heaven and everything's going to be all right, amen. This is what operates in your life: the curse, sickness, poverty, disease, lack, confusion, darkness, and death. But if you are in Christ and your mind has been renewed, and you've taken Colossians 1, and you understand that you've been translated. You've been moved from one image into another image. You got to catch what I'm saying. You've been translated from the image or the power of darkness into the kingdom. The word kingdom, two different words put together, king's domain. You've been moved from being in bondage. You've been moved from being shackled. You've been moved from being sick. You've been moved from being poor over here to having dominion. Now, if this stuff tries to carry over as a king, you don't tolerate it no more because it don't belong to you anymore. Tell you, they say, fight the good fight of faith. See, that's why the word in our 1 Timothy 6 and 12 is fight. Because guess what? We know how to fight when it comes to this right here. But the Bible say the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. See, those things over there are strongholds. And guess what? That devil will keep doing to you what you will let him do to you until one day you stand up and say, you know what? I'm no longer going to tolerate this. I'm not going to tolerate sickness. I'm not going to tolerate divorce. I'm not going to tolerate my kids being wayward. I'm not going to tolerate poverty. Amen. I am what the word says I am. See, back in the 80s, guess what? We had a powerful prophet of God by the name of John Osteen. He started that whole thing. Raise your Bible up in the air. Say this right here. This is my Bible. I am what God says I am. I have what God says. I'm just trying to talk like him a little bit. But amen. He did that in the 80s. Amen. And people start saying it as a church cliche, but they wasn't realizing what the man was saying. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. I'm able to do what it says I to do. Oh my God, this is the uncompromising, infallible, impregnable, unchangeable, not based upon consequence, not based upon current event, not based upon bloodline, not based upon what side of the track, not based upon what color, not based upon what background, not based upon your pocketbook, not based upon what you can see. This is God's unchanging word. You better catch what I'm saying. Whatever God said, that settles it. You got to catch this thing right here. Amen. If God said it, that settles it. If God said it, that settles it. Sometimes I'll be walking around. God, you said it, that settles it. God, you said in Jeremiah 1 and 12, you'll hasten your word to perform it. That means you're watching over it. Amen. So I'm putting it out there, God. I'm saying what you said because I'm waiting for that thing to come to pass. You got to catch what I'm saying. Ain't no sickness or disease got power over a believer who knows their covenant rights in Christ. Poverty ain't got no power over no believer that knows their covenant rights in Christ. Amen. The battle is not yours. The battle is the Lord's. He already fought that thing. We're going to get there. My pages are ripped, but we're going to get there. See, when you understand who you are in Christ, you believe that the blessing is on you. The blessing is on you. You are whole. You are prosperous. You have health. You have abundance. You have wisdom. You have light. And you have life that continues and perpetuates and grows. See, what we don't understand is that when Adam fell, his vocabulary didn't have death in it. So he had to learn progressively how to die. Well, when we got restored, when we repented, when we change our thinking, guess what? We have to get the vocabulary of death out of us and the vocabulary of life in us so we can progressively change and grow and get better. See, we're so used to associating with death that we accept it. Amen. But guess what? That ain't God's will. We're so used to associating with poverty and sickness. Well, Jesus even said the poor will be with you always. Didn't say it had to be you. I don't think I seen my name in that scripture, that synoptic gospel. I don't think I seen yours in there, amen? I prophesy and I declare that not one member of this ministry is poor anymore. That you'll never be broke another day of your life. Come on. See, I just can't say it for you. I just can't come here and pray doing corporate prayer and decree the word. You got to decree it yourself. Amen. That word got to jump out of my mouth to your mouth, to your mama mouth, to your daughter mouth, your husband. Amen. You got to be passing that word around like it's a ball. I'm trying to show you something here. Help me, Holy Spirit. Tell your neighbor, say, neighbor, I am no longer in Adam. I mean, you got to say, I'm no longer in Adam. I am in Christ. Well, what does it mean to be in Christ? 1 Corinthians 6 and 17 said, he that is joined, somebody say joined. He that is joined to the Lord is one spirit. Not two spirits, not three spirits, not a whole bunch, but one spirit. He that is joined to the Lord is one spirit. See, stuff like that, you got to get that in your vocabulary and say, I'm joined to Jesus. I'm joined to Jesus. I'm no longer separated, nor am I alienated from the life of God. I'm a sharer in common with Christ. I'm a joint heir with Jesus. Come on, somebody say amen. That word join is a Greek marriage term, which means to glue and to stick and to cleave. Whenever God is talking about his relationship with the body of Christ, he's always using marriage as a type and shadow. If you look at Ephesians chapter 5, he's saying, look here. He's saying that when you get perfectly joined together, watch this right here. Watch what happens right here. When you join somebody, and I do marriage counseling, I tell them you can't separate because if I glue two pieces of paper together, amen, they become one. Now when I try to separate them, fragments from each paper come off on the other paper to indicate that they are one, and they are no longer two. So that means, guess what? You can't be separated from the love of God. Romans chapter 8 said, you can't be separated from God, amen. You're one with him. Let me just give you another scripture here so you can understand what it means to be in Christ. Look at John chapter 17, verses 20 through 23. You ain't got it. Listen, just write it down because I'm going to get through this because I got to get something real powerful. Neither for these alone do I pray. I'm Amplified version. It is not for their sake only that I make this request, but also for all those who will ever come to believe in, trust in, cling to, rely on me through their word and teaching. Verse 21, that they all may be one. Just as you, Father, are in me and I in you. See, here's the problem. We saying stuff that Jesus didn't say. Look at what Jesus said here. He said, I pray that they may be one, just like you and I are one, Father. That they also may be what? One in us, so that the world may believe. Look at the purpose of us being one with God so that the world may believe. See, there's something that is in you and something that is upon you that can cause this world to believe that Jesus is Lord. But guess what? That thing that is in you and that thing that is upon you can't bring what is in you and upon you out so that the world can see that Jesus is Lord if you don't believe it. If you don't believe that you're one with Jesus, if you still believe you're some old stinking sinner sitting in the corner, amen, waiting for one day to fly away and go to heaven, guess what? You ain't going to never see the manifested promises of God in the earth. Take your neighbor and say, neighbor, you can't be a sinner and a saint simultaneously. It's impossible. My God. Look what it says in verse 23. I in them and you in me, in order that they may become one and perfectly united, that the world may know and definitely recognize that you sent me and that you have loved them even as you have loved me. See, some people just need a revelation of that right there. How much God loves you. Amen. Again, God's love is not predicated upon how well your father or your mother loved you. It supersedes that. Come on, somebody say amen. To be one in Christ means this, briefly. Don't even go there. Galatians 2 and 20 said, you and I were crucified with Christ. Say, I'm crucified. Amen. The still Bible said that I am enjoying a second existence. Christ is using my body. I'm dead. That's what it literally means. You and I died. Amen. Romans chapter 6, verses 3 through 4. It says we are buried with Christ. Say, we are buried. Now, this word buried means literally to be assimilated into the body of Jesus and to be made one. So what this means here, it means that, guess what? When Jesus died, you and I died with him. Amen. When he was buried, we were buried with him. The old man stayed down, and when Jesus rose, you and I came up as one with him in the mind of God. Amen. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 6. And then when Jesus was seated at the right hand of God, the Bible said in Ephesians 2 and 6, you and I were made to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Amen. Somebody say amen. Now we're going to go on just to get an understanding of this. Look at Colossians 1 and 14. Let's just brand this thing in your spirit. Colossians 1 and 14. Turn there right quick. Colossians 1 and 14. Y'all getting something today? Colossians 1 and 14. Look what it says. I want you to read the first two words when you get there on the count of three. One, two, three. What does that mean? In, it means in him, in whom we have redemption through the blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Tell your neighbor, said, in him I have redemption. Galatians 3 and 13, turn there real quick. This was our tithe and offering scripture, but turn back there in Jesus' name. Galatians 3 and 13, amen. Look what it says here. It said, Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. Take your neighbor and say, he hath redeemed us. He's not going to redeem us. He already has redeemed us. Tell your neighbor and say, neighbor, you are redeemed. Now look at 1 Corinthians 1 and 30. We're going somewhere. 1 Corinthians 1 and 30. Turn there real fast. In Jesus' name, all you Bible scholars, we're going somewhere with this. 1 Corinthians 1 and 30. In Jesus' name. It says, but of him are ye what? Where are you at? But of him are ye what? In Christ Jesus. Tell your neighbor, say, neighbor, you are no longer in Adam. You are in Christ Jesus. Watch this. Who of God has made unto us what? Wisdom and what? And what? And what? Redemption. Tell your neighbor, say, neighbor, you've been redeemed. Now, go to Ephesians 1 and 7. Turn there real quick. Ephesians 1 and 7. All we're doing is just branding it in your mind. You have been redeemed. You have been redeemed. You know, more than just a cliche, amen? People say, oh, I'm redeemed, I'm redeemed. Okay, well, what does that mean? We're going to find out. Amen. Ephesians 1 and 7. Look what it says here. What's the first two words? In who? In whom. You could translate whom as him. In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of whose? His grace. Amen. Now tell your neighbor, say, neighbor, I'm redeemed. Now let's find out what redemption means. The word redemption literally means the purchase back of something that had been lost by the payment of a ransom. Amen. Now, how many ever seen that movie with Mel Gibson, Hostage? Amen. Or any kind of hostage movie? Amen. Most of the time, people who kidnap people, they require what is called a ransom. Amen. Praise God. Well, when the ransom is paid, amen, the people are generally free unless it's on TV. But in this case right here, you and I have been made free. The word redemption is defined in three different words, and we're going to see them in Luke chapter 4. Turn there. Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4. This is Jesus quoting Isaiah chapter 61. This is a powerful text right here, but we need to get it out. Whenever you see the word redemption, if you study the word redemption in the In the English language, in the Webster's Dictionary, you're going to find three definitions for that word. As you go down and study them and you look at the different synonyms and different things like that, those three words are release. Somebody say release, recovery, and restoration. Okay? To be redeemed means that you've been released, you have received recovery of sight, and restoration. Here Jesus explains it in Luke chapter 4, verse 18 and 19. Look what it says here. It says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. This is the Amplified version. Because he has anointed me, the anointed one, the Messiah, to preach the good news. Tell your neighbor, say, neighbor, anytime you hear a preacher preaching that's anointed, it should be good news. Amen. If they are anointed, praise God. It should be good news. You could turn that down some, Jason. Look what it says here. It says here, to the poor, he has sent me to announce release. Somebody say release. To the captives and recovery of sight to the blind. Somebody say recovery. And to send forth as delivered those who are oppressed, who are downtrodden, bruised, crushed, and broken down by calamity. So we see three words here Jesus is talking about. The first one he talks about is release. Somebody say release. The second one he talks about is recovery. Somebody say recovery. And the third one he's talking about, amen, is restoration. Now, I'm going to bring that third one out a little bit more so you can understand it. Now, there's three things that God dealt with. Tell your neighbor, say three things. He dealt with sin, he dealt with yourself, and he dealt with your stuff. Being free from confinement and bondage or the obligation to pain. When he's talking about recovery, he's talking about the regaining of something that has been lost or taken away. When he talks about restoration, he's talking about the return of something to its former and original and unimpaired condition. Okay? Now, if you look at release, when he's talking about release of sin. Look at Romans chapter 6 right quick. Turn there. Romans chapter 6. We're going to get this, y'all. We're going to get this in your spirit today in Jesus' name. Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6. Look at verse 13 and look at verse 14. He's talking about release of sin and bondage to the enemy. It says, neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourself. But yield yourself unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. Verse 14, let's all read it together on the count of three. One, two, three. For sin shall not have dominion over you. For you are not under the law, but under grace. See, this is a powerful, powerful, powerful thing of being under grace. Sin has no more power over you, no more control over you. Come on, somebody say amen to that. Now, here's what I want you to do. I want you to look at verse 18. Look at verse 18. Look what it says here. Let's read it together. One, two, three. Being then made free from sin, you became the servants of what? Righteousness. Now let's look at verse 22. Let's read it together on the count of three. One, two, three. But now, being made free from sin and become servants to God, you have your fruit unto holiness and the end, everlasting life. I'm gonna read 23. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift, somebody say gift, the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. So when it's speaking of release, it means that you and I have been freed from confinement or imprisonment or the bondage or the obligation to sin or the pain of our past. Amen. Somebody say amen. That means you don't have to stay stuck addicted to anything. Come on, somebody say amen. You don't have to stay stuck and bound to anything. Only thing you should be addicted to is God's word. Come on, somebody say amen. When he's talking about recovery of sight, I love this one right here. In the recovery stage, he's dealing with self. Somebody say self. The word recovery means the regaining of something lost or taken away. Is talking about our sight. Jesus said the recovery of sight. 1 Corinthians 2, 9 through 12. Turn it. This is powerful right here. This is powerful right here. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 9 through 12. Tell your neighbor, say, neighbor, I have on the inside of me the ability to see the unseen. So when he's talking about recovery of sight, he's talking about you and I, our spiritual insight has been recovered. See, people who have not been redeemed or don't understand or don't have a revelation of redemption, amen, they still look at what they see out there. This is what we want to break in the body of Christ, because you can't live your life by what is going on out there. Amen. You know what I mean? You can't go by what the economy says out there. You can't go by what the doctors are saying out there. No disrespect or dishonor to them. Amen. But you're redeemed. Come on, somebody say amen. Look at what it says here. Verse 9 says, but as it is written, let's read it together. Eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. Stop right there. That word deep means bottomless. That means there's no end to God. You got to catch what I'm saying here. Amen. You and I have received recovery of sight. Somebody say amen to that. You can see the deep things. The deep things can be revealed to you. Now, some people say, well, Pastor, it ain't all that deep. Oh, yes, it is. Because one of the main things that we have to change is our carnal way of reaching people. Because, amen, carnality will only duplicate and produce carnality. Amen. Come on, somebody say amen. And I don't care how, you know, the world changes. The Bible tells us don't be conformed to the world or the system of the world, but be transformed. Now, look at this right here. I want you to look at 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18. One of our foundation scriptures of our ministry. I just want you to see that you have received recovery of sight. 2 Corinthians 3 and 18. When you get there, somebody say, praise the Lord. Let's all read together on the count of three. One, two, three. But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of God. Now, tell your neighbor, say, neighbor, this is now talk. This is not one day when you get to heaven talk. The book of 1 John teaches us that as he is, so are we right now. The more we look into the mirror of God's word and we see the unseen, we begin to see God's image, you and I are able to be changed into that image. Remember, we are translated, amen, from darkness unto light, from the power of darkness unto the kingdom of God, amen. Now, one more, 2 Corinthians 5, 17. This is powerful, okay? I'm going to bring this scripture out. You may never seen it like this, but I'm going to bring it out like this. Very, very clear scripture that we teach all the time, that most churches teach it. Let's read it together on the count of three, verse 17. One, two, three. Therefore, if any man be, he is a, old things are passed away. Stop right there. Now, I want you to make a dividing line right here in this scripture right here. He's telling you that if you're in Christ, you are a, old things are what? Then he tells you what? Behold. What does behold mean? It means to look. He wants you to get your eyes on something different than all the old stuff. The Apostle Paul said, this one thing I do, I forget. See, some of us just need to forget things that are behind, and I press toward the mark for the prize, which is in Christ Jesus. That's the whole thing. See, there's a whole nother realm and a whole nother life in Christ Jesus. A life of blessing, a life of favor, a life of prosperity, a life of healing, a life of a good marriage, a life of whole kids. Amen. Well, I know that sounds kind of different because everybody else is agreeing with what's going on out there. But never one time do you ever see Jesus in the Word agreeing with the world system. He was the sample son. Somebody say amen. Amen. Jesus showed us how to violate time, space, and matter. Are you catching this right here? You and I got the ability to violate sickness. When we know our covenant rights, we got the ability to violate poverty. We got the ability to violate divorce. Are you catching what I'm saying? Because we are in Christ Jesus. The rules of engagement for you and I are different. Amen. That's how God going to be glorified. He going to be glorified. Guess what? He don't get no glory when our lives equal what the world life equal. You and I should be on a whole nother level. I'm going to show us how to get there. We're going to get there. Amen. Tell your neighbor, say, I have received recovery of sight, and I have been released. This one right here is powerful. Say, I have been restored. When Jesus was speaking of the year of the favor of the Lord, it is speaking of what we see in the book of Leviticus chapter 25. It is speaking of what we call Jubilee. Somebody say Jubilee. The Lord said, count 7 years times seven times, and on the 50th year, every man that has been put in bondage or slavery is to be released. He said, every person that sold their property is to be returned back to them. Now, the Bible says you and I have a better covenant established upon better promises. Anytime they were in slavery, and whenever Jubilee came around, and people, most people only experienced one side of their life, here's what happened. They got restored. Now, and God never just restores it back to what it was. He always restores it back greater. Now, I'm going to quote Bill Winston one time just so y'all can understand that I got it from him, but after this, I won't quote it again as Bill Winston. I'll quote it as Pastor Claude. Amen. Somebody say amen. But see, we ain't just being restored to what you lost. If the devil stole from you personally, you ain't just being restored what you lost. And I ain't just being restored what I lost. We being restored all the way back to Adam. You gotta catch this. You gotta catch this. Remember I told you that vocabulary of death, when it entered into him progressively, he had to learn how to die. Now the vocabulary of life is in us. Now we're progressively learning how to live. You got to catch this right here. See, this is the in Christ realities. But if you're still in Adam and you're just looking like church, you ain't going to get this. But if you understand your covenant rights as a believer, you don't have no battle with sin. Jesus defeated sin. You don't have no battle with poverty. Jesus defeated poverty. You and I don't have a battle with sickness. He defeated sickness. The Bible said he made an open show of them, triumphing over them gloriously, the Bible said. My God. Here we go. I'm just trying to raise the level of your expectation. See, guess what? The devil don't want you to get your expectation up because he knows that now faith is the substance of things expected. See, your faith kicks in once your expectation rises up. But if your expectation is down here, your faith can only be right here. And the Bible said a just shall live by his faith. So if I raise your level of expectation, your faith gonna raise. Joel chapter 2. Turn there real quick. Joel chapter 2. This is powerful right here. Look at this right here. This is talking about Zion, the end time church. Verse 23. Be glad then, ye children of what? Zion. And rejoice in the Lord your God. He ain't telling you to cry about your problem. He's saying be glad and rejoice. For he hath given you the former rain moderately. He will cause to come down for you the rain, the former rain and the latter rain in the first month. And the floor shall be full of wheat. And the fat shall overflow with wine and oil. And I will restore to you the years that the locust hath eaten, the cankerworm and the caterpillar and the palmer worm. My great army which I sent among you, and ye shall eat in plenty and be satisfied and praise the name of the Lord your God that had dealt wondrously with you, and my people shall never be ashamed. Are you his people? The word saying here, giving you a promise, this revelation of redemption will bring you to a place where you're never ashamed. It don't have anything to do with what God is doing, because the Bible calls it the finished work of the cross. It's already done. All you and I got to do is step into the revelation of it. Now watch this right here. One more scripture. Acts chapter 3 verse 21. Turn it right quick. I love this one right here because nobody can explain it, but I'm going to bring it to pass. Acts chapter 3 verse 21. And I'm not saying that cocky. I'm just saying it because sometimes you read stuff in the Bible, you know what I mean? And some theologians, they, you know, can I be real with you? People who didn't even have the Spirit of God translated the Bible. People, this is powerful right here. You got to catch what I'm saying. Here we have scriptures and stuff, and then we built doctrines, amen, in the early centuries of the church that was based upon their revelation of what the apostolic doctrine was. And here's what we have here. We have people who etched in stone and put boundaries around the doctrine as if God's knowledge and wisdom wouldn't be revealed even more throughout the years. See, listen, we are in 2011. That which God is saying now, he didn't say 10 years ago. Guarantee you, go back and check some of the prophets, amen, and the apostles and the men and women of God that spoke. They weren't saying these things now. 20 years ago, they wasn't saying it. 30 years ago, they weren't saying it. Why? Because just like knowledge is increasing, revelation is increasing. It don't mean that God is saying anything different. It's just that certain things were hidden in his word for certain times. Are you catching what I'm saying? So it's wrong for us to say this is doctrine and etch it in stone when we're still progressively learning. The more we get to know the Holy Spirit and we get intimately acquainted with him, he begins to uncover deep and intimate mysteries and secrets, the knowledge of God. Because I remember a day, if you was to stand up and say, you know what, I'm just like Jesus, they'd call you a blasphemer and a heretic and kick you out of the church. But now believers are starting to stand up and realize, wait a minute, he was the sample son. He was all God and he was all man. He came to show you and I how we ought to live. Acts chapter 3, verse 21. Here we go. I'm about to finish. I'm going to wrap this up. It says, let's read this, 21. Verse 21st. And he shall send, which is before, was preached unto you, whom the must until of what? Of what? Restitution of what? Okay, now check your dictionary. The word restitution means restoration. Restoration of what? How many things? The Bible said the heavens must receive them. Now, everybody is saying, come, Lord Jesus, come. Come, Lord Jesus, come. But this scripture and other scriptures teach us that he's coming back for a glorious church. Can I say something to you? He's not coming back for a church that's weak, crippled, impotent, without power. When he comes, the Bible said he's going to be looking to find faith. He's going to come back for somebody that's taking dominion in their city. Somebody to grab the horns of the altar and they're not sitting up in the cave with their head and getting cut off. You better catch what I'm saying. He coming back for a church. Listen, if you don't get your head cut off, get your head cut off in victory. You got to catch what I'm saying here. That's the kind of people he coming back for. Not somebody that's scared to go up in crack houses and somebody that have church and know how to shout here, but at their job, they are incognito Christian. He ain't coming back. You know I'm telling the truth. I'm going to let my light shine. Don't nobody in your whole job know you a believer. Because when they all sipping, amen, and they going out, you right there with them. Amen. You creep into the back door of the church. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let me inspire them. Holy Ghost. Is that all right, y'all? Take your name and say, neighbor. He coming back for a victorious church. Don't think yourself short. He coming back for a victorious church. Jesus said, look here. See, here's a problem right here. One day he told me, he said, son, he said, you trying to build the church. He said, I told you in my word that I'm going to build my church. He said, when I build my church, the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Now, that's not an offensive term. It means the gates of hell is trying to hold you back, but you like, get out my way. Are you catching what I'm saying? Like I said yesterday, listen, I said at the park yesterday, I got up and my people probably know that I was a little bit violent. I got up and I said, we can no longer be passive with people's lives. Amen. If they need to get saved, grab them by the hand and say, are you born again? I'll walk you up there. Y'all got to catch what I'm trying to say here. Passivity ain't going to produce the power of God and the anointing of God. That's why Smith Wigglesworth, they said, this person right here, this little boy right here, you know, he crippled and everything, and kicked him. Boom! Kicked him off the stage. Fell into the crowd, people screaming and everything. The boy got up and walked. There was another man, they said he was dying of cancer. He walked up, boom! Punched him in the stomach. Why? Because he wasn't passive with the devil. The body of Christ got to get past trying to offend people and being passive. Glory to God. Y'all know I'm telling the truth. Amen. The devil ain't in the closet no more. He coming out. He don't care what you and I think about him. Amen. He don't care about it. Y'all know I'm telling the truth. Here we go. Let's go there. You ready? Let's go there. We're going to end right here. My God. Holy Ghost, help me. Glory be to God. Take your neighbor and say, change your words, change your life. Okay, now here's, what does redemption have to do with our words? I'm going to show it to you right here. Amen. 1 John chapter 5, verse 4. This is the Amplified version. It says, every God-begotten person, say this, say, I am a God-begotten person. It says, every God-begotten person conquers the world's ways. Tell your neighbor, say, neighbor, I'm a world conqueror. The conquering power that brings the world to its knees is our faith. The person who wins over the world's ways is simply one who believes Jesus is the Son of God. Do you believe Jesus is the Son of God? Then you got power in you to conquer the world's ways. That's why Romans 12 says, be not conformed to the world. That means, watch this. The word conform means don't follow its image. Conform. Form meaning fashion. Come mean together with. Don't get alongside the world when they say recession, you jump in and say recession too. You know what I mean? And they say age, you jump in and say age too. When they say sickness, you jump in and say, you know what? This is my sickness. This is my infection. This is my disease. You don't do that. The Bible said, don't be conformed. But we always take that scripture and we try to put that scripture in the context of, you know what I mean? Don't live like the world. Be holy. You know, get this together. No, he's saying, period. Concerning the world system, don't you get over there in it. Everything they got to do with the world. Jesus said in John 17, you are in the world, but you are not of the world. You have a whole nother way of living. Glory be to God. Are you catching what I'm saying here? Here we go. Watch this right here. Psalm 103. Man, I promise y'all I'm going to be done in a minute. Psalm 103, 1 through 5. Can I get it out, y'all? This is powerful. Tell your neighbor, say, change your words, change your life. I done found this thing right here. The Bible goes back to all back to the power of words. Look what the Amplified says. It says, blessed, affectionately grateful, and praise the Lord, O my soul, and all that is deepest within me, bless his holy name. I'm reading the Amplified for a reason. Bless, affectionately, gratefully praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not one of all his benefits. Tell your neighbor, say, neighbor, read the Bible slowly. It says, don't forget his benefits. Listen, I don't care how dark your situation is. Don't forget God's benefits. What he said to you in a situation where you were in his presence, I don't care if you get in a dark situation, don't forget what you heard in the light when you get in a dark place. Don't forget his benefits. Now watch this. Who forgives every one of your iniquities. How many? Who heals each and every one of your diseases. How many? All of your diseases. Watch this. Four. Who redeems your life from the pit and corruption. The King James says destruction. Who beautifies, dignifies, and crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercy. Now we're talking about God. We're not talking about the world here. Look at verse 5. Let me bless you. It said, who satisfies your what? I want you to circle this. Who satisfies your what? Your what? It says, your necessity and desire at your personal age and situation with good so that your youth is renewed. It's like the eagles, strong, overcoming, and soaring. If I want to be strong, overcoming, and soaring in every area of my life, I got to deal with my mouth. My mouth is the tool that God uses to materialize my redemption. You got to catch this right here. The word good things there literally means good, pleasant, beautiful, excellent, lovely, delightful, convenient, joyful, fruitful, precious, sound, cheerful, kind, correct, rightness, virtue, and happiness. Tell your neighbor, said, neighbor, you got to learn to live and speak with a young tongue. If I was Chinese, I'd call you Mr. Young Tongue. You got to have a young tongue. If you want life, you got to speak life. Now, here's what the tongue has to do with redemption. I'm about to show it to you right here. Turn to Psalm 107, verse 2. Just turn it real fast. We're going to get done in just a minute because I want to get this out for you. Psalm 107, verse 2. In Jesus' name, the devil is a liar. We're going to get this out today because people are going to go home today and all week long they're going to be saying what God says about their life. See, if you don't know anything else to say but I'm redeemed, I've been released, I've received recovery of sight, I've been restored back to my original intention. See, once you start saying that and you start thinking that, all of a sudden the world's ways are going to be evident before you and you're going to start saying, you know what, I'm not going to tolerate that no more. That's where 1 Timothy 6 and 12 kicks in. Fight the good fight of faith. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Now, I want you to read Psalm 107, verse 2 with me, and let's see what you get out on the count of three. One, two, three. Let the redeemed of the Lord, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy. If you are redeemed, what did he tell you to do? If you are redeemed, what did he tell you to do? Now, turn to Isaiah 48. This is going to bless you right here. Turn to Isaiah 48, verse 17, when you get there. Isaiah 48, verse 17. I'm almost done, y'all. Hang with me. The chicken ain't gonna burn. Look at verse 17. This is powerful right here. We're gonna read verse 17 and then we're gonna jump down to verse 20. You ready? When you get to somebody, say, praise God. Let's read it together so you can get it just like me. One, two, three. Thus saith the Lord, thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. I am the Lord thy God, which teacheth thee to what? Which leadeth thee by the way that thou shouldest go. Now go down to verse 20. Isaiah 48 and 20. Go ye forth of what? That means confusion. Flee ye from the Chaldeans. Watch this. With a voice of singing, declare ye, tell this, utter it even to the end of the earth. Say ye, the Lord hath redeemed his servant Jacob. Are you hearing what he's telling you to do? It doesn't matter if you don't look like you're redeemed, if your circumstances are not reflecting what the word says. He says, start saying it out of your mouth. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. And I'm going to go back to it. That's what the Bible said. Let the poor say, I am rich. Let the weak say, I am strong. Now watch this. Let me show you something real powerful. The condition of our lives and the world is in our mouth. The condition of our lives in the world is in our mouth. Turn to Jeremiah chapter 1. I'm going to show you something so powerful. I'm telling you, this thing right here going to just ignite and erupt in your spirit. You saying, say, God erupt. It's going to erupt in you when you see this right here. In Jesus' mighty name. You ready? Say this with me. Say, everything that I'm going through, everything that the world is going through, death and life is in the power of my tongue. Now watch this. God is speaking to Jeremiah. Verse 4. Then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. Before thou came forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee. I like how he cocky with it. And I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. Then here he go, running off of the mouth. Then said I, ah, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a child. But the Lord said unto me, say not, I am a child. Say not, for thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee, whatsoever I command thee. See this, let me just stop right here. I got to do this by the Spirit of God. See, God is talking to a lot of us today. Say not that I'm sick. Say not what the doctor said. Say not what the bill collector said. Say not, don't say it, don't say it, don't say it. Look at this right here. Look at this. Be not afraid of their faces. I'm with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord. Look at verse 9. You ready? Then the Lord put forth his hand, and he touched my mouth. And the Lord said unto me, behold, I have put my words in your mouth. Watch this. See. This man, this is so powerful right here. I'm going to shout myself. Look at what he said here. He said, I put my words in your mouth. Then first thing he tell you to do is what? Open up your eyes. He told Abraham, he said, Abraham, he said, look as far as your eyes can see. Don't limit yourself to Lot leaving and going to what looked good. He said, wherever you are, I am, and wherever I am, the blessing is. You can prosper in a ditch. My God, you can go from eating fruit and vegetables out of a can to sitting down eating filet mignon or however you want to. You got to catch this right here. Look what he said right here. He said, I put my words in your mouth. See, I have this day set thee over the nations. Get it, G-Rod. Over the kingdoms. Watch this. What did I do that for? To root out, to pull down, to destroy, to throw down, to build, and to plant. Look at what he did here. He put his word in our mouth for us to pull down, to destroy. Now watch this right here. This is powerful right here. You and I don't have the ability in our own power with the work of our hands to pull down and destroy the nations and all this. But the word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth. The word of faith that we preach. You got to catch what I'm saying. That if thou shalt confess, homologio, say what God says, you shall be saved. The word saved means made whole, not just born again at the altar, but I'm talking about made every whit whole. The woman with the issue of blood, legally, according to the law then, could not touch a man of God, a priest, because she had an issue of blood. But the Bible said that she heard that Jesus was there, and she kept saying, if I could but touch the hem of his garment, I will be made whole. If I could but touch the hem of his garment. And the Bible says she got up and she grabbed a tzitzit. She grabbed the bottom of his garment and his skirt. And Jesus said, who touched me? Yeah. See, when the last time we touched Jesus with our faith, I'm telling you, you and I have been set over nations. This word gives us the ability to change the course of this country. Can I give you a revelation? Bible prophecy isn't there just because God wanted it to happen. It's there because God foresaw that it would happen. See, there's nothing wrong with Bible prophecy. But guess what? Everything that bad happens don't mean it's going to happen to believers. I told you, it'd take me too long to take you back into the Bible and show you, you know what? When the whole world was flooded, Noah received salvation and favor. You got to catch what I'm saying. The children of Israel were protected when they were in Goshen. The harlot was protected when she was in Jericho. You got to catch what I'm saying. We have a blood covenant with God. I say this every Sunday, 1,000 will fall at our side, 10,000 at our right hand, but it shall not come near you and I. My God. Last one, you ready? Turn to Isaiah 6, and I'm going to end right here. Tell your neighbor, said, change your words, change your life. Isaiah 6. This is powerful. This is so powerful right here. My God. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood seraphims. Each one had six wings. With two he covered his face, and with two he covered his feet, and with two he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. You about to see something powerful. I never seen it like this until I read it the other day. And I read this, I said, glory be to God. This is powerful. And the post of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, watch this. Then said I, woe is me, for I am undone, because I'm a man of unclean, what? And I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean, what? For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. God didn't get back there and say, you know what? Yeah, woe is you. You piece of crap and all this other stuff. And you're in my presence and you're just a dirt bag and you're never going to be nothing and you're just garbage. And no, he didn't do that. Watch what he said. Watch what happened here. Then flew. I want you to circle the word flew. The angel stood at attention and flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he took and from the tongs of the altar, and he laid it upon my what? I don't know if it caught you the way it caught me. I'm trying to show you something. He started releasing negative words. The angel jumped up off of his position and flew to him. Boom! And got a hold of his mouth. You got to catch this right here. Tell him, he said, death and life is in the power of your tongue. You're going to learn it here. Look at this right here. It says, and he laid it upon my mouth and said, lo, this hath touched your lips, and your iniquity is taken away, and your sin is purged. You mean to tell me my iniquity and my sin is removed because of my mouth? I'm just trying to show you something. Look at this right here. Also, I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? And who will go for us? Then said I, here am I, send me. See, God dealt with his own personal image of himself by dealing with his words. See, the mouth is powerful. John the Baptist, I'm ending right here. John the Baptist was about to be born. Elizabeth and Mary got together and the baby was leaping in the bellies and all. You guys know the story. But John the Baptist had a priest as a father by the name of Zacharias. And the angel appeared to him and said, look here, man, your prayers are being heard by God. And he began to tell him of the miracle of John the Baptist. And he's going to be the forerunner of the coming of Jesus and all this and other stuff. And Zachariah doubted. So the angel shut his mouth the whole time that Elizabeth was pregnant. Why? Because guess what? You and I have power to cause God's will not to happen by the words of our mouth. Well, if it's the Lord's will, it's going to happen. No, it's the Lord's will that every man be saved, but not every man is going to be saved. You better catch this right here. You and I have power to cause his will not to happen by the words of our mouth. See, God could the whole time be telling you, I want to put a coal on your mouth concerning what's going on in your body, concerning what's going on in your wallet, concerning what's going on in your marriage, but you keep releasing the wrong words. I'm trying to show you something right here. You and I have been redeemed. Come on. We've been redeemed. You got to get in your spirit. We've been redeemed. You've been redeemed from poverty. You've been redeemed from sickness and you've been redeemed from death. Come on, say that. Say, I've been redeemed. I've been released from the power of the enemy. I have received recovery of sight. Now stop right there. The redemptive plan of Jesus, the only thing that can hinder it is our words, because our words is what causes us to walk in the flesh. See, Samson's words was, go get me that woman. I want her, daddy, bring her to me. And those words that it released brought Delilah in his path, caused him to lay his head in her lap. She cut off the 7 locks. The Philistines came in, shackled him, gouged his eyes out. See, some of our eyes have been gouged out because of that flesh walk. That flesh walk is a product of our words. See, if you keep saying that you can't, baby, you can't. No matter how many times Obama say, yes, you can. You keep saying it in your own mouth, you can't. Glory to God. I'm here to tell you something right now. There is nothing or no one on planet Earth that can stop you from becoming what God called you to be, except you and I. Not the pastor, not the president, not the economy, not sickness, not disease, not what your husband did to you, not what your wife did to you. You got to catch what I'm saying. Nobody can stop you except your words. Come on, give the Lord a hand clap of praise. My God, stand to your feet today. I'm telling you, listen. You could take that word you got today and meditate that word. Get that word in your spirit and over start talking it out of your mouth. I've been released. I've received recovery of sight and I have been restored. I have been restored. I have been restored. The Bible promises us. He said, look here. He said, you will not be ashamed. He said, what the moth and the cankerworm and the palmer worm and all the caterpillar, what they have stole from you, he said, I'm restoring it unto you. I'm going to say this. You and I, when he was speaking in Joel chapter 2, and then the apostle Peter began to talk about it in Acts chapter 2. Go study it for yourself. The agent of restoration is the Holy Spirit. See, when in Genesis 1, when everything was dark and chaotic and void and empty, the Spirit of God hovered upon the face of the waters, waiting for the word. Jeremiah 1 and 12 said that God hastens his word to perform it. That means he's watching over what's coming out of our mouths. Hebrews chapter 3 tells us that Jesus is the high priest of the profession. The word profession is the Greek word homologia, which means the confession. He's the high priest over your and my confession. We are no longer in Adam. Come on, say, I'm no longer in Adam. I am in Christ. Are we doing this raising your level of expectation? I'm no longer in Adam. I'm in Christ. Therefore, the curse, I have been redeemed from it. Poverty, sickness, death, disease, lack. My God, I have the blessing. It's on me now. Everywhere I go, I'm blessed. Read Deuteronomy chapter 28. I'm blessed going in. I'm blessed coming out. I'm blessed in my body. I'm blessed in my storehouse. I'm blessed in my basket. We translated our blessed in my bank account. I'm blessed in my wallet. I'm blessed in my marriage. Every baby that's in my womb, the fruit of my womb is blessed. You got to catch what I'm saying here. You are blessed. But let the redeemed of the Lord. Let the redeemed of the Lord. Amen. Don't be caught saying the wrong stuff. Amen. If you're in this room.